Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ian Hoke is our senior producer at the controls in the other studio. Good afternoon, sir.
And good afternoon to you, too, as well.
So I know you're a Swiftie, and I know you've listened to the album. Were you listening to it at 11:01 when it was first released, our time?
Yep. Me and the missus kind of spent the evening getting ready. Let me start out telling you this, fellas.
Getting ready?
Yeah. If you really want to make your woman happy, show interest in her interests. You know what I'm saying? Like, invest a little bit in the things that she cares about. Which is not to say that I don't care about Taylor Swift at all, but my girlfriend is an enormous Taylor Swift fan, has been forever, knows all the mythology and the Easter eggs and follows every moment of it, you know, like it's the way that you and I follow news and politics and current events. So we made Aperol Spritz, which is kind of, it's a poofy cocktail. It's like it's Aperol and Prosecco, but it's orange is the point. And the album is like orange colored.
Yeah, her new thing. She displayed this on the Eras tour, where she was wearing orange, and
she went through an orange door.
Yeah, not many people wear orange because it's a unique color that doesn't work well with everybody. But you know, she looks good in orange.
But she takes the sort of presentation of her albums quite seriously. They've each got kind of like a color palette, etc. So this new album is kind of like the orange and teal album. So I made my girlfriend some orange cocktails, and we enjoyed those. And then when the album came out at 11 o'clock, you know, we stood around in the living room and just kind of listened to it. And then we'd stop and discuss each track. And I was like, what's she talking about here? And, ooh, what did that sound like to you? And what feelings did this evoke? It was a good time. And I tell you what, it's a good time because whether you like this genre of music or not, is of no moment. Taylor Swift is an extremely skilled songwriter. She is a poet. She is the Bob Dylan of her generation. And you don't, you know, maybe you don't believe me or maybe think I'm not into that bubblegum crap. That's fine. We're all here to do what we're all here to do. If you go to see a movie that's, you know, in French and there's no subtitles, you're probably not going to enjoy that. In the same way, like, if you don't speak this language, if you don't like this kind of music, I'm not going to tell you you're going to love listening to this album. But for those of us who are in on the joke, she's really, really good at this.
Yeah, and you can respect the songwriting. I'll also say that, you know, over the years I've talked about Johnny Resnick of the Goo Goo Dolls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people dismissed the Goo Goo Dolls. I mean, they started out as a punk band,
right,
but they became a pop band with pop hits, and a lot of people think it's like chicken rock and they don't really like it. But Johnny Resnick is a profound songwriter, mm-hmm, and very introspective in his writing,
yeah,
and he touches a lot of people with his songs. But a lot of people dismiss it because it's the Goo Goo Dolls.
I was thinking about this a lot last night and this morning because I knew we were going to talk about it, and I wanted to have something meaningful to say. If Tom Petty, or Paul McCartney, or Rick Derringer, or whoever wrote these exact songs that Taylor Swift put out on this album, middle-aged men who don't normally listen to stuff would go nuts for it.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's really smart. It shows you that she really thinks a lot about what she's trying to express. You know, it's very, the album that I thought about a lot listening to it last night is Blue by Joni Mitchell, which is like, oh my God, slow down, Queen. Like, this is almost too personal. You are oversharing You know, it's like, it's very autobiographical. Each song is about a different part of her life, the way that she relates to her fame, the way that she relates to the fact that she is literally, there's a track called Father Figure, where she talks about how she is the cornerstone for her entire family, for her crew, everybody that works for her, her band, her dancers, the entire Taylor Swift empire rests on her shoulders. She is, you know, like a media mogul in the mold of like Roger Ailes or whoever, the, you know, owns CNN
is.
Right now.
She
and
is.
And the responsibility that comes with that makes her feel stuff. And she's really good at writing about that. And, you know, I think the album is very smart. Sonically, it doesn't sound terribly different from a lot of other stuff that she's done previously in her career. But it is very sophisticated songwriting. And I knew I was going to want to tell you this because I know you've been keen on this for a long time. How do artists evolve over time as their audience gets older?
Right.
Taylor Swift cannot keep making music for other 20-year-olds. She is 35 this year, I think, or about to be 35. And there is material on this album that is R-rated. I mean, she is not making music for middle school and high school girls anymore. She's making music for, you know, young working women kind of in the same place in their lives that she is, where she's thinking, oh, you know, it's about maybe I should have a family. What's my legacy going to be? You know, what does it say about my life that I have all these ex-lovers and now I found one that really kind of allows me to be the person I know I am inside? It's great. It's a great piece of art.
Well, the other thing, Ian, is that the pictures that go along with this, some of these pictures are racy. I mean, when you consider the 10, yeah. 11, and 12-year-olds that follow Taylor Swift, the preteens and young teens that follow Taylor Swift, some of these photographs, they're very tasteful, very well done, but they're like boudoir pictures. And there's one with her and food and a skimpy outfit. I want to say it's in the bathroom, and she's got stiletto heels on up against some piece of like either the wall or some furniture. And then there's a shot. I think she's wearing kind of like fishnets. But there's another shot where, you know, the whole backside, the whole naked side of her her butt is shown. So these are more risque pictures for Taylor Swift. And because it's Taylor Swift, I don't think there's been a lot of criticism. But if it had been anybody else who was attracting a really young audience, I think there'd be criticism of some of these pictures.
I would love to hear from someone who has school age daughters, and I would love to hear their perspective about, like, so what is the sort of emotional texture of sharing this with my daughter? If your kid is in fifth or sixth grade, there is stuff on this album that will make you blush and wonder about whether or not it's appropriate for your daughter.
But
and I think, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think, you know, it's up to each parent and each family to decide whether this is appropriate for a fourth or fifth or sixth grade girl. Or a boy for that matter, but it just shows that Taylor Swift has evolved and is no longer concerned about making every single person in her audience happy and not giving them ammunition to criticize her.
Yeah.
She's on another plane. She's in another dimension. She doesn't care about that stuff anymore. She's a billionaire. She's the most successful recording artist on the planet and shows no signs of stopping. And she wants to make art that makes her feel good. Damn the torpedo.
Well, you know, when it's the right person, when it is the right person and they're in a position where they have money and they don't have to be held accountable to anybody, they are free to be who they are. And Taylor Swift has always written about her exes. Now she's writing about a person in her life now.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of reference to Travis.
Yeah, there is.
But I would also suggest, Ian, when you talk about some of the lyrics that might be more adult leaning, you know, a lot of those younger teens are not going to get it. They're not going to understand the references.
Oh my guy, they're going to.
Oh, you think they're going to get
it? I'm picking up what you're putting down, but I don't know if we'll do it on the air. But I'll play some of the bits for you later. That's like, holy cow, not that metaphorical. It's pretty straightforward.
Okay,
yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.